truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Let me just,
finish up and say, you know, I disagree with Mr. Brady.
Finally, tonight, although it pains me to say this, Jon Stewart, Comedy Central, he was right.
You're a single mom of a teenage son who's 18.
We're going to prevent a lot of students from low-income families to be able to afford to come to
the
school.
I have met before from behind.
Now, isn't that lovely?
Burn in hell,
made from rattlesnake hide. I got a brand
new... world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the News Talk and Entertainment Show where reality is the bitch, the Alice in Wonderland, and through the looking glass of talk radio. Coming up, UCLA students protest tuition hike. Senator Kerry's daughter has been arrested for some sort of misfeasance. I believe it was a DUI, bud.
Yeah, she blew a 1-0.
Don't smile when you get out of here. 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget that every night we have a... Oh, you know what I forgot to do? We'll bring Ted on here in a second. Every night that we have a... radio show. We also have a live streaming video and audio feed of that show on our website. Phil Hendry Show. Turn off the thing. We're going to bring on Ted here in a minute. So go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and check out the live streaming video and audio.
Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm Ted Bell. Come on down. We have got that slow roasted rib. It's a rib. What is the name of it? It's a rib. It's a prime rib. That's it. How do you spell prime?
Ted Bell joins us for this portion of the program on the Phil Hendry Show. How do you spell prime?
Yeah, you know something, Phil? It's interesting. I've got a series of cue cards that I use here before I come on the program, and somebody spell the word prime, and it's, I'm not blaming them. I should know products that I've got in my own restaurant, but we're having a very good, very, very interesting night tonight. Thanksgiving's coming up, and we have got Ted's of Beverly Hills going to be open all day on Thanksgiving, so if people are interested in coming down and spending their Thanksgiving with us, the prime rib room is wide open. We'll have our usual salad bar, which, of course, and we get a lot of people confused. It's not an all-you-can-eat. We don't do that, and our restaurant, I think, is a very classy place, but we don't do all you can eat, and I want people to know that coming in, as that they dress appropriately. But Ted's of Beverly Hills, in Beverly Hills, on Rodeo Drive, we certainly will hope they join us for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, there was a story here, Ted, that we wanted to talk to you about because it had to do with tipping.
Absolutely.
And tipping, of course, is the way a great many waiters and waitresses and so forth. Here it is, right here, as a matter of fact, make their living.
That's not necessarily the case. I think tipping is, if you want to know, Phil, what tipping is about, I can tell you. There's a misconception about tipping, and I've been in the restaurant business now for some, going on 30 years, after we took the business up with my father, who was, as you know, very ill, and he had a drinking problem, and that's the way some families go. Some people have to deal with a recession. We had to deal with a father who had an alcohol problem, but we were able to resurrect the business that he had almost ruined, and it put our life into it. And so I understand every aspect of the business.
All right, well, what were you going to say? What is tipping?
Tipping, Phil, is a way for the customer to feel that they have extended themselves, that they have done something good, that they have... gone above and beyond. They've come into the restaurant, they've sat down, they've had a meal, they've paid their bill, and they see the waiters and the waitresses, and most cases they're living a better life than those people. In most cases they're making more money than those people. The customer wanted to feel better about having people bring them food, and they just generally wanted to feel better about themselves, because the experience of coming into a restaurant, believe it or not, Phil, we found this out in research, the experience of coming into a restaurant for most people is a demeaning experience for a lot of people. They feel as if they don't deserve it, because what's happening is you're ordering food that ordinarily you have to cook, and there was a time that you had to go out and kill it, and then they're having it served to them, and that certainly brings up guilt feelings. How do you help people who are sitting down in your restaurant feel better about themselves so that they are not sitting there depressed, you allow them to tip.
But the tip, as we know, let me just say this before I, because we have this story.
You were mentioning a story, and I interrupted you.
No, you didn't. I asked you a question. It's okay. It was an evening that out that college students Leslie Pope and John Wagner will long remember. Not only did they get what they called lousy service, they got handcuffed and they got arrested all over a $16.34 tip. Now, I want to go to the audio that we've got here, because I do have some audio of the students talking about this. NBC Television in Philadelphia actually did a report on this arrest. And these kids apparently claimed that they had bad service. And they were with a half a dozen friends at a place called the Lehigh Pub in Bethlehem last month, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And so the establishment apparently...
Well, I think it's that Bethlehem where Jesus was born. And I'm making a joke, but...
No, it's Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
All right, you know... every time I hear Bethlehem and it's the holiday season, I'm thinking somebody stiffed someone on a tip where Jesus was born. I got to make a comment about that.
All right. Well, they were with a half a dozen friends at the Lehigh Pub in this Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So the establishment tacked what it called a mandatory 18% gratuity onto the bill of about $73, according to reports. They refused to pay because the service was terrible. And so the establishment called the police. And they said they had to find their own napkins and cutlery while the waitress caught a smoke. They had to ask for the bar for soda refills. In other words, they got no service at all. So here is NBC Television in Philadelphia reporting on the experience here of Leslie Pope and John Wagner at this pub.
The couple was with six friends at the Lehigh Pub in Bethlehem last month, where after dinner, they refused to pay a mandatory 18% gratuity for what they say was lousy service. They say not only did they have to wait almost an hour for their order of chicken fingers and fries, but Pope says she had to seek out napkins and silverware for the table.
And at this point, I'd become really annoyed because they'd already gone up to the bar myself to have my soda refilled because the waitress never came back.
Pope says when the $73 bill came, the group paid for the food, drinks, and tax, but refused to cough up the mandatory gratuity for parties of six or more. When she explained to the bartender in charge why, she says he took their money, then called police.
So you got a comment on that, Ted?
Well, again, I got to fall back on what I know as a restaurant owner, that the tip is primarily to make that individual who's being served feel better. When someone throws a few quarters on the table and they think they're actually helping someone make a living, you got to kind of laugh at that.
Well, how do you handle it? You heard this.
Well, we have a mandatory tip.
You have a mandatory tip.
Oh, yeah, we tack on a mandatory 50% on every single bill. So that people know that. We will say to them, here is the tip that is mandatory, and of course, what I'm thinking is, this is so you can feel better about yourselves. Go ahead, and you won't have to leave money on the counter. We just go ahead and tack it on, and then they feel better that they are being told this is the tip. They can pay their tip, and they can walk out of there feeling like human beings, like a lot of customers want to.
And then you divvy the tip money up at the end of the night, right?
Well, no. What we do with the tip, you got to understand, that is a mandatory tip on the tab, because customers expect you to want them to tip, and most people feel a little weird not tipping, and so what we say is, here's what you're going to tip, and they are very happy to pay that.
But what I'm saying is, when you tack a tip on like that, do you divvy it up?
Well, let me tell you how we do it. My job is primarily, I'm the owner, I'm the manager, I'm the administrator of a restaurant. That my job should only entail managing the restaurant, managing the accounts, taking deliveries on supplies, and making sure the entire operation runs. But what I also do, which is not a part of my job description, I go table to table, I meet people, I shake hands. We have the prime rib room, which is where a lot of Hollywood people will come in and have a drink after they're done, making their TV movies and all of this. That's not part of my job description. So the tip money that we tack on to the bill will go to me. But that isn't what tips are about.
But you don't share it with the staff.
Yeah, but you're missing the point.
Well, what am I? You're saying
people don't tip. They don't care whether the money gets to the waiter or not. They don't care whether it gets to who it's supposed to be. They just want to know that they tipped. And so what restaurants are doing really, Bill, is just making people feel better about sitting down and having someone come up and serve them food because they, for whatever reason, they don't eat at their home. Maybe they don't know how to cook. Maybe they don't know the first thing about preparing a meal. Maybe they don't know what a grocery store is. I don't know. But they come into a restaurant, and someone's got to feed them. And so the tip was designed so those people can feel a little bit better about themselves. See?
Well, then what you're basically saying is the following. The lousy service that these college students got...
Well, it's lousy service, but it doesn't have anything to do with a tip. You're going to tip. If they tell you it's a mandatory tip, then you're going to tip. Because it's a mandatory... It's part of the bill, you see?
Even if the service stinks...
You are tying the tip to service, and you're tying the tip to the service. The tip has nothing to do... Anybody in the restaurant business... And I think anyone listening to your program tonight, and that would mean probably everybody who's ever been in a restaurant, can tell you that they feel good just being able to leave money because they sat down and they had to have somebody come and serve them food, you know, almost as if you're an infant, you know.
Well, wait a minute. Now, if I go to a restaurant, I'm not an infant. I'm going to a restaurant.
Yeah, okay, why are you going to a restaurant?
I'm going to a restaurant because I like the idea of restaurant. I like restaurants. I like to sit down. I like to look at the menu. I like to look at the surroundings.
Well, you're a very rare breed. Most people go into restaurants because they want to have something to eat.
Of course I want to have something to eat. I understand that. But I'm not necessarily in there because I don't know how to shop for groceries.
Right. But the point being, do you feel good when you tip? Do you feel good when you tip?
Yes, of course I do.
All right. That's why the tip was designed, so that you can feel
the couple was with six friends at the Lehigh Pub in Bethlehem last month.
Hold on. We had a problem. I apologize, Ted. We had some audio fire. Go ahead.
That threw me off.
Yeah, you were saying...
It threw me off.
But, all right, but the essential point...
The essential point is, the kids in Bethlehem, wherever that is, they didn't get good service. They did get good service. They had napkins. They didn't have napkins. Cutlery, it doesn't make any difference. The tip is built in. You will tip whether they come to this table with botulism-ridden food. Now, that's wrong. I understand that. And of course, the restaurant is going to be cited for that. But I don't think if the food isn't edible, you got to tip it part of the bill. It is a long-standing tradition, the tip. It has to do with making those people feel better. And I can tell you one thing right now, Bill. If those students had tipped, if those students had gone ahead and coughed up, whatever the few scraps of pennies they had that they were being asked for, they'd feel a lot better about themselves today instead of the bourgeois, spoiled, rotten brats that won't even tip a server that wanted a cop of smoke. And I can tell you, I think it's wrong. And I think...
Yeah, but you're not even sharing your tips with your servers.
If I got to repeat myself...
No, I know. You're saying that the tip, it doesn't matter whether you share them with the servers, so why are you keeping them?
Because I'm doing a job that I'm not supposed to do. I'm going table to table to make sure people are happy. I'm the owner of the restaurant. I should only be sitting in an office on the phone and doing that. But instead, I got to go table to table and say, did the food arrive? Are you eating? Has it been an hour? You know... And trying to smooth over any bad feelings created by those servers. So, to be honest with you, Phil, the tip, I keep the tip because it makes more sense because I'm doing something above and beyond. The server is just doing what they're doing. But, again, it doesn't matter to the people leaving the tip.
Well, I can tell you...
It doesn't matter to the person leaving the tip. They don't care if you took the tip money and threw it out in the middle of the street for cars to run over it. It doesn't matter.
I can tell you it would matter to me.
Phil, I've been doing your show long enough to know that you are always going to come up with a contrary point of view, because I know that that's how you get the ratings and the controversy.
No, I'm telling you, if I knew that the tip money that you were charging me was not going to the servers, but was instead going to you or just anybody, it would bother me.
Well, you apparently don't eat in restaurants that much, because that's not what most people tip for. They tip just to feel better about themselves. It's an ego-driven society. And I give people an opportunity to walk out of a restaurant without wanting, without feeling as if they're the scum of the earth for having someone much poorer than them spoon feed them their dinner.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell talking about the art of the tip and these young people that were stiffing the servers on their tip in Bethlehem. People don't tip because they want to help the server. People tip because they want to feel better about themselves. We'll be back with Ted Bell and the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're not getting about what I'm saying.
And we're back with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, the sponsor of this portion of the program. Ted, you know, we're talking about tipping and this story in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, about the students that didn't tip because they got lousy service. But you're saying there is no such thing when it comes to tipping.
First of all, Phil, of course you want good service. Everybody wants good service. I demand that my servers provide good service. But that isn't what the tip is about. Most people come into a restaurant because they want to feel, you know, to be perfectly honest, because I've done a study of this. Most people come into a restaurant, and let me tell you this, and anybody who owns a restaurant and disagrees with this, they're lying to you. Most people come into a restaurant because they want the thrill of having someone doing what they tell them to do. To see them going back and forth into a kitchen and carrying out platters of food. And I've noticed the looks on people's faces in restaurants. They just stare at the server while the food is being placed on the table. They're not looking at the food. They're looking at the server. Like, as if to say, look at what I got him doing. Now, as the evening goes on, they feel more guilty about that until the end of the night, they want to tip. And so that's why, all right, we'll let them tip. But it doesn't matter whether it gets to the server or not.
The servers probably think it matters.
Servers think a lot. They think, you know what? Is there a recession on? Yes, there is. Are they getting paid? Yes, they are. Are they employed? Yes, they are. Is there a recession on? Yes, there is. I say that twice because that begins and ends every sentence any employer uses these days.
877-876-PHIL, talking here with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Let's go to a phone call, and we will continue this conversation in the next half hour. Here is Jessica. Jessica, you're on with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Good evening.
Good evening. I just want to say that I'm a server and I work for tips. And he is very
wrong. You say you work for
tips? I work
for tips.
Yes.
You work for me?
That is my main salary. And
did she say she works for me?
No, she works for tips.
I work
for you don't work
tips.
For Ted Bell. Okay.
No, I work for tips. From customers.
All right.
For tips and customers.
Okay.
And
right.
I provide excellent service to receive my tips. And I in no way think that the tip should ever go to the owner for doing his job and greeting his customers that are coming into his business.
That's not my job. That's the job of the hostess. That's not my job. That's not my job. You know,
you're the owner of the restaurant.
Yeah, but my job is to make sure that the accounts are straight, to make sure the supplies are delivered, to make sure that the restaurant's running properly. To go out and actually meet and greet is what the hostess ought to be doing when she's not on a cigarette break. And so, you know...
Well, why would you disparage somebody?
I'm not disparaging, I'm just saying, because I go above and beyond what I do, I get the tips.
And I do, too, as a server. I go above and beyond my job, especially when gratuity is added, to make sure that these people are going to get everything that they need so that they are going to tip me well, not my manager.
How do you know they're going to tip you well? You say you're going above and beyond before they even tip.
You don't know. You have to
have faith. Then you don't know.
You don't
what
know.
Do you do,
but if
what
you provide
do you do,
good service, what? A decent human being will tip you what you're supposed to be tipped.
You don't, Jessica,
there aren't
you don't
few that
work. I know what you do, and I know that you work hard. But people don't tip because they feel sorry for you. They tip to make themselves feel better because they've had you running back and forth, bringing them platters loaded down with food.
I don't want them to feel sorry for me.
Well,
I chose the profession. This is what I do. tip me for the great service.
But they enjoy watching you hop too, bringing them large platters of food as if they just called you in from the field.
Some people, maybe. Indecent human beings, maybe.
Yeah, I know. It's sad. It's very sad.
But for the most part, I have very good customers that aren't coming in to watch me hop around.
Your boss must make a lot of money on the tips.
All right, we'll be back with Ted, 877-876-PHIL. Ted's in Beverly Hills on tips.
Phil Hendry.
Where's the caller?
Ted Bell, our guest here on the Phil Hendry Show from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and Ted and I have been talking about tipping as it relates to the story in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where some college students decided they weren't going to tip because they didn't get very good service. And I've heard your point, Ted, about tips not being for necessarily the customers. We got some phone calls to get to.
Before you get to the phone, let me explain something, Phil, because I think this is very, very key, and I think people are missing this. You know, I've owned a restaurant for a long time. My father, God bless him, had a drinking problem, as you know. And I'll never forget, my father died on the same golf course that Bing Crosby died on. My dad died on the 18th hole of a course in Spain. And he died of a heart attack on the 18th green. Do you want to know the people that were with him? He had a bet going into that hole. It was a carryover for, I think, something like a couple of $100 on skins. When he collapsed and died on that green, they went through his pockets looking for the skins money. And
oh, God, what a story, Ted.
But it brings up the point. And the point is this. I had a young server. Her name was Bernadette. And she was leaving one night. And this is before we had the mandatory tip where I just put 15% on the tab and people paid it and felt better. And I said, did you have a good night tonight, Bernadette? She said, yes, I did, Mr. Bell. I said, how much did you make? She said, I think she said she made about $300. And I said, and how did you make that? She said, well, good service. I said, above and beyond what you're already being paid for? And she said, I think so. I said, well, what did you do above and beyond what you're being paid for? She said, I brought them their... And now I could see her starting to sweat because she couldn't think really of what it was she did that was above and beyond. And I said, so you really didn't do anything above and beyond? And she said, no, sir, I didn't. And you know what that young lady did to her everlasting credit? She reached into her little apron, and she pulled out the $300 and gave it to me. And I remember the honesty of that young lady to this day. And that's when we put in the mandatory tip. And
what did you do with the money?
I didn't. What did you say?
What did you do with the money? She gave you her $300 in tips?
I put it in the glove box in my car. I don't know. I might have used it for valet money. That's not the point.
Well, you're saying that you take the 15% that you charge for tips and you keep it because it doesn't matter if it goes to the servers because people only tip to feel better.
Yes. Sometimes if I got to say it, I got to say it until the tears come out of my eyes? Yes.
No, not until the tears come out of your eyes.
Well, I'm going to start crying here in a minute because what I'm telling you is people want to tip because they feel guilty that they sat there like a plantation owner watching the, you know, the indentured servants hop too. So, to me, it's a small price to pay.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with, we got Shannon. Shannon, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Shannon, go ahead.
Hi, I've been a server for about 5-6 years.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't understand how the owner of a restaurant is stealing from his server.
Hold on. That's not stealing. How's that stealing?
You're taking the tip money that was left for your server, and you're putting it in your own pocket.
Well, here's the thing, Shannon. They don't leave the tip money on the table. It's tacked onto the bill. See?
So you're taking the server when... So it's supposed to go to their paycheck, but yet they're not getting that actual money?
Well, you see, how can you give them tips when they're only doing what they're paid to do? Like that girl Bernadette, I said, what did you do? And she started to sweat. She was sweating blood. I mean, this girl was so nervous because she couldn't think of what it was she was doing above and beyond that she began to sweat big droplets.
I'm just saying, going over and over and beyond, you're saying as an owner of a restaurant, you deserve to sit in your office and just kind of sit there. No, you want the whole experience, and you want your servers to be happy. Therefore, their customers are going to be happy. Therefore, people are going to come back. If a customer taking the tip from the server, regardless of if they had a good experience or not, they left the tip for the server. They understand.
First of all, I want to ask your credentials, because if you're working at a and you sound young, if you're working at a Chuck E. Cheese or you're in a mouse costume, it's a little different, right?
Well, they get paid a little bit more than $2.13 an hour, do they not?
No, I'm talking about you. Where you work, or do you wear a costume, or is it a pizza place for kids, or what is it?
No, I'm 22 years old, and I now currently work in a bar.
She's a woman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard your voice. I thought you were in a rodent costume at a church. I apologize. Well, you do sound very youthful. I'm sure people have told you that.
Yes, I have heard that.
Okay.
Yes.
Here's what I want to say. When you wait tables or tend bar, people are coming in to know what it's like to have you do what they tell you to do. Because that's how lousy their lives are. And after you serve them all that stuff, then they feel bad and they tip you. But
have
it
you
isn't about them
before?
Wanting...
Or have you just been thrusted in this amazing opportunity to take your daddy's business?
Well, get a load of the lady in the mouse outfit. You know, ma'am...
She said she doesn't wear the mouse outfit.
Well, you really got a pair on you for walking around in a Chick-fil-A costume.
Can you even answer the question now? Have you ever served before?
Ma'am, I'm an owner of a...
Service precision? Oh, my gosh.
Can I... A server's precision? Ma'am, after 9-11, as you know, we had a security problem in this country. I instituted security procedures for our restaurant that would not scare our patrons, but at the same time would ensure the safety of our restaurant. I didn't know what to do. We began by dropping a quarter on the floor in the foyer of our restaurant so that naturally people are going to bend over to pick it up. I thought it was a good idea. Women would bend over. Well, then they said, you're looking up their dress. Okay, fine. What am I going to do then? So I had them come into my office. So I'm in my office a good 4 hours a night dropping quarters on the floor. I don't know what you want me to do.
Are you telling me that for 4 hours a night, you're doing a security check for your restaurant?
That and other stuff. But it isn't my job to make sure that some deadbeat isn't going back to the salad bar that isn't a sizzler all you can eat, see? And I'm saying to Shannon, I'm sure you do a great job. If you worked for me, I'd love all the tips that you got. But I have to take them because you know that they don't care about you.
You don't care about them. That is stealing from your servers.
Not if they're not doing anything above and beyond. If they're just bringing food out and making people feel better that they are they're bringing food out like they're wishbone at the chuck wagon, that's one thing.
But, Ted, you know, you're talking all around.
Do you tell them, hey, if you don't go over and beyond and this is what over and beyond means to me, I am going to take your money? No, because
What is above and beyond for you? What do you do besides get into the... Well, so you don't work at the Chuck E. Cheese.
We've already established she works in a bar.
When I hear her voice, she sounds like she's in a costume.
Well, don't discriminate against me just because I have a higher pitched voice.
Not discriminating. I'd hire you in a second to put on a wolf,
Well, I wouldn't work for you because you steal from me.
I'm not stealing from anyone, ma'am.
What would you consider, Shannon, above and beyond your normal duties? What do you do in the evening? At your job or in the afternoon, wherever it is, above and beyond.
You're constantly cleaning the restaurant. You're constantly making sure everything's stopped. You're making sure that other customers and other service tables are happy.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
What doesn't make any sense?
Pre-bussing the table. She said she's a bartender. That means she works behind the bar.
So she's wiping the bar down.
I work in a bar, but my bar has servers, and I've been working in restaurants ever since I could have a job.
I put you on the phone. Can you? Would you do me a favor? Just please. Would you say good evening, Ted's of Beverly Hills?
Excuse me?
Would you please just say the following phrase? Good evening, Ted's of Beverly Hills. Can you? Would you please just do that for me? Good evening, Ted's of Beverly Hills.
No.
Yeah. See, she can't do it, and I'd have to steal her tips.
What?
That doesn't make any sense.
I gotta steal your tip. You can't even say Ted's of Beverly Hills, and you're telling me you're pre-bussing tables? No. This will not stand. You're telling me that you're doing all this stuff, and when I ask you the simple thing, say good evening, Ted's of Beverly Hills. You're frozen. You're frozen with fear.
Shannon, I'm sure you do a great job.
I couldn't really hear you. I'm sorry. My phone's breaking up, so I couldn't really...
All right, I appreciate your call. We'll let you go.
I wanted to say good evening, Ted's of Beverly Hills.
She doesn't want to say that, and...
Okay, well, then I realized she can't even say that. I mean, if you clean the toilets and you help the valet parkers, that's going above and beyond. Beyond that, it's above me, you're beyond me. You know what I mean?
All right, Shannon, thank you very much. Thank you. Great call, and best of luck to you. 877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell.
You know, Phil, I wanted to bring up, I sponsored this segment, and yet here you are. Thanks a lot, Shannon. Great call. Thanks a lot. The points that I am making...
Ted, look, when you asked the girl to say Ted's of Beverly Hills...
She couldn't do it, and she's telling me that she's, quote, pre-bussing a table? No, there's something really fishy about that, if you ask me, okay? Now, here's what I call going above and beyond. If you're a waitress, and yes, you also go in and sponge out a toilet, I know it sounds...
Oh, come on, man.
No, let me tell you something. That's really important.
Why don't you do it?
Why don't I do it, huh?
Yeah, why don't you do it?
So I'm supposed to go table to table smelling like one of those toilet cakes.
Well, you want it done. There's an old saying, do it yourself. Here is Kurt. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Kurt, with Ted Bell tonight. We're talking about tips. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Phil, I just wanted to thank you, man. I really enjoy your show and everything.
Thank you.
This gentleman here, as far as I'm concerned, he's totally out of line with doing a mandatory tip and not paying his servers or anything. I've got a question to ask him because I know that servers only get a certain amount of money and everything, and they depend on his tips, depend on the customer's tips. What does he pay the people that work at his restaurant?
I pay minimum wage.
You pay minimum wage?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So as far as I'm concerned, you're only giving them minimum wage, and you're expecting these people to go above and beyond what they're expecting
for their
to
tips.
Do, and you're only giving them minimum wage, and you're taking the tips because you've got them tacked on. Let me ask you a question.
I'm taking the tips because I'm doing the only guy in the restaurant who's doing a job above and beyond seems to be me. I'm going out and I'm talking to the customers, which I, on any given night, I'd much rather not do because you know how they drink. I'd rather be in my office reviewing, prospective employees, etc.
Okay, let me ask you this then, because there's a very expensive restaurant here in the town where I live at. And the owner is a very awesome gentleman, and he has no problem whatsoever coming out and doing whatever he needs to do to greet his customers. I saw him serve. I saw him do a lot of things. Are you beneath that?
Well, I got to tell you, there's a little bit of a difference. I'm Ted Bell. I own a steakhouse in Beverly Hills. I'm Ted Bell. This gentleman that you're talking about. But I'm Ted Bell. The gentleman you're talking about, I'm sure he's a great guy, and he's got a nice roadhouse or whatever he's got. But what I've got is a gold mine. I'm sitting on gold. And
right,
I'm Ted
and
Bell.
I understand this, but we're
what does that mean, you're Ted
about,
Bell?
He doesn't
I've got
have...
A, my license, I've got a personalized license plate, you know.
Okay, all right, fine. That's all fine and dandy, but what you're trying to do is sit and say that you're above everybody else. Is this what you're trying to say? Because the gentleman that I'm sitting here talking about that owns this restaurant, it's definitely not a steakhouse. It's very elegant. They use real china, real silver, and everything like that. It's an extremely nice.
Do they have different place settings for each time of the day? Yeah.
Yes, they do.
We do.
Yes, they do. And they have china, they have silverware and everything, and it's an extremely nice dining place. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, looking at you, and you're paying your
what is his, I don't go
to a restaurant because I want to feel, you know, like I'm extraordinary just so I can get in there and watch the service and everything. I go into a restaurant because of the service. And when I tip somebody, I don't tip them, you know, just to make me feel good. I tip that person.
Well, I wish you'd tell the truth, sir. It would be a lot better if you'd just be telling the truth here. You know you go in there because you want to see them scurry around.
And no, it's normal.
You're wrong. It's normal. I'm Ted Bell, so you're asking me. You're asking Ted Bell to do what?
No, I'm sorry.
What is this? I'm Ted Bell.
You're sitting there telling me I go into a restaurant because of number one.
You're going into the restaurant because you want to know what it was like to tell them, hey, you. Go get me a bowl of slop or whatever. And that's okay. I'm telling you, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
You're
going to feel guilty.
Well, you know,
you're looking at it from a dollar standpoint, and I'm looking at
You know who I am, right?
I'm
Ted Bell.
Ted, we know that you're Ted. I'm sorry. You know, I don't mean to interrupt you, Kurt. I know that you're Ted Bell.
Well, so if you know I'm Ted Bell, why are you allowing him to ask me these questions?
Because they're good questions. That's why. They're very good questions.
You know, the fact of the matter is you're putting yourself like you're above.
Wow.
You're doing your employees a favor by, I'm paying you minimum wage, you know, and I'm getting all the tips and everything. And, you know, your ass is sitting on a gold mine, and you're sitting there basically stealing from your servers. And they're
They feel better when they let me have the money because they know that it wasn't about their service. It was about you coming in and feeling guilty that you were running them around like it was Gone with the Wind. And they want to feel...
I've never felt guilty about anything being in a restaurant
You wouldn't feel guilty if you said to somebody, hey, Mammy, cook me up some flapjacks. You wouldn't feel guilty about that? Well, I would.
That's not what people say when they go in a restaurant. Yes, please, I would like the flapjacks, thank you very much. That's what normal, civilized human beings say.
But they're thinking. I'm trying to say what they're thinking. Hey, you, go get me, you know.
Kurt, you've made some excellent points.
You've lost the concept of, you know, you've got a service of people that know your reputation, know your restaurant and everything, and that's one of the reasons why I go in a restaurant, because I know their reputation, and I'm like this. If I go in, if the food's not good, the service is not good.
I got to ask you something. The guy that owns the restaurant, does he have a personalized license plate? No, he doesn't. That's the difference. There's many differences. He does? Or does it just seem like it? Like they gave him a license plate that said, I am a cook, or it was like, you know, but it was all an accident.
All right, Kurt, very good call tonight. I got to take a break. 877-877-8766-PHIL. We'll be back with more from Ted Bell, 877-876-PHIL, in a moment.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, but I'm Ted Bell, and that's God.
Phil Hendry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And we're back with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills this evening. We're talking about tips and tip money and the idea that you keep the tip money that is intended for your servers.
No, it's not intended for my servers. It's not intended. Let me explain to you, Phil.
We've got very little time. I want to tell you what, we'll hold Ted over for the next hour here.
Yeah, as well you should, because I have not been allowed to give my side of this. And people have been...
I think you have, Ted.
No, I don't think I have, and I'm the sponsor of this segment. So is that...
All right, what did you want to say?
What I want to say is the following thing. You know this young man, this disc jockey who is on Sirius, Bubba the Love Sponge. You know this kid?
Yeah. Bubba, we're familiar with him.
All right. But you haven't met him?
No, I haven't met him.
Well, he happens to be a friend of mine. He comes into the restaurant, and Bubba was in 2 months ago, and I had the tip money from the night before that I collect for my services walking the floor and meeting people, in many instances, who have had way too much to drink. And I pulled out a 20. I had a couple of cigars, Cohibas, which Bubba likes. And we went out to the patio that we have where the fire pit is. You know where the fire pit is? Right off the Prime Rib Room, right?
Yes.
Okay. I lit both of our cigars with 20s from the tip money. Now, do you realize that the servers saw this and didn't say a word? Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that they understand.
No, that tells me that they're probably in fear for losing their jobs. What would you have done if they were to say something?
What do you mean if they were to say what? What are they going to say?
Hey, Mr. Bell, why are you lighting your cigar with tip money that you could be giving to us?
Well, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, because they're going to get fired.
Because they don't want to be rude to... I'm hearing my jingle.
We're going to go to the next hour.
They don't want to be rude to Bubba the Sponge. I mean, Bubba the, the Sponge.
Yeah, Bubba the Sponge. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL with Ted Bell on tipping.
We don't want to put our meat in your mouth.
Phil Henry.